Welcome to Texans Weekly, coming to you from this beautiful suite here at NRG Stadium. That's right, it's the President's Suite, Jamie Roots' suite, and we are here for the next 30 minutes covering what is the most exciting and best week of the year, opening week of the NFL season, the Houston Texans preparing to take on the Washington Redskins. We've got it all covered for you this week. In fact, we'll sit down with Executive Vice President and General Manager Rick Smith a little bit later on in the show, as well as catch up with our inside analyst John Harris for a little football 101. But first things first, and that, again, is opening week, and everyone is excited.
It's exciting. You know, it's just a way to go out there and show everybody we got something special here and that we can, win games and things like that and do it from week to week.
Once you get to the regular season, it just becomes all about, week in and week out. During training camp, it's that grind day in and day out. But now you got a real big focus where the game's kind of the end of the week. The older guys have been taking the younger guys under their wing and getting some extra meeting time, getting some extra film. And that's the biggest thing, as long as we can focus in and wire in day in and day out.
It's just, it lets you know that you're back at football. Of course, all the hard work you put in through training camp, off-season workouts. And that's what all this hard work is for, opening day and jumps starting the season off.
I'm just treating like another game, like the regular preseason and everything. Just go out there, take one play at a time, and just do my assignment.
You said before the first preseason game, you were a little nervous.
Yeah, I ain't nervous.
The lights, not now?
No.
Why? Because you got two games under your belt?
Yeah, I'm just ready. I'll be ready to go, and I think I'm preparing myself.
Has it been a long time coming, considering how long it took you to get here?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I've been thinking about it, like you said, my whole life. But when I got here, I'm just ready to get into it now.
And while this does kick off the Bill O'Brien era here in Houston, the Houston Texans do have a pretty good history on opening day. In fact, they've won their last four consecutive opening days, so definitely a game they are looking forward to against the Washington Redskins, and they will be no easy opponent. This is a dynamic offense. They've got a very strong front seven on the defense, and the Houston Texans are preparing for it and looking forward to it.
They got an explosive offense, man. Explosive starts with that quarterback. RG3, good quarterback, has a strong arm, can thread us with the running game. They have a good running back, got a lot of speed at receiver. So we got a big task in front of us, but we've been working hard, and we ready.
Always it's going to be a challenge because you can't rush how you want to. You can't take a lot of inside moves because he can pop out and run for first downs and yards.
I mean, obviously, they got some proven guys, Rakpo and Kerrigan. So, they got guys up there who have been doing it in this league at a very high level. So, you got to respect that. And they look fast and physical on tape. And, every season is different. So, their chemistry is going to be different with new guys coming in and out. So, you never know how it's going to play out. But from what we've seen, they look like a very solid front seven.
And for those of you coming out here to the game on Sunday, remember to wear your white. It is Liberty Whiteout. And for those of you who will be watching it at home, be sure to tune in at 10 a.m. Texans Countdown Live right here on Fox Sports Southwest, and then flip it back over after the game for Texans Wrap Live. We've got to take our first time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we will be joined by Executive Vice President and General Manager Rick Smith. Stay with us.
JJ's proven that, what type of player he is, on and off the field. The most important thing, it's obvious we see what he can do on the field, but off the field, he's such a great guy, man. And the guys who have a chance to be in the same breath with him and play on the same field, man, it's amazing to be with somebody like that. And you're happy that he's able to get rewarded the way he has.
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Joining me now, Executive Vice President and General Manager Rick Smith. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patty. It's nice to be here.
Again. Nice to be back.
Yes.
First one of the year.
Yes, it is.
Kind of gearing up for the season. Boy, you've been a busy guy.
Yeah, we have. Obviously, training camp is a busy time, and when you have the first claiming priority, as we had to make sure that we were prepared. For the waiver wire process. And so those 75 cut down reductions, and then the 53-man cut down reductions, and then the claims, and then establishing our practice squad. We executed a trade in the meantime in there. So there was a lot of work to be done, but the objective was to make sure that we filled the most competitive team possible for Sunday, and we feel like we've done that.
All right, well, I want to get to all that stuff that you just talked about kind of individually, and let's start with probably from the fans' perspective, maybe the biggest news of the week, and that was the extension of J.J. Watt. And before I get your thoughts on that, let's check out the press conference.
When you look at his performance, in our view, he's the best defensive player in the league, and we wanted him to be compensated that way, and he is. He's going to be here for a long time, and you know, we look forward to his being the second person that goes in the Hall of Fame for the Texans, and he's going to do nothing but get better.
You know, I was talking to my parents last night a little bit, get a little choked up, sorry. And I mean, it's a big deal, and it was just cool to think about. We were talking a little bit about Little League football and hockey and the days back playing football with my brothers in the front yard and high school football, and some of the people that told you can't do it and some of the people that tell you can do it. Teachers, my elementary school teachers, my middle school teachers, high school teachers, coaches, mentors, friends, just the support system that I've had and the people that have surrounded me and helped me get to where I am today is why I'm here. It's not one person. It's teammates. It's coaches. It's everybody. And so that's why it's so special to me. And I'm so very, very thankful and so very, very fortunate. And I can't wait to share it with all the people in my life. Just the text messages I've got, my teammates today, my coaches, everybody saying such nice things. It really gets you. And that's why you do it. That's why I work so hard. That's why I love this game, because it can create moments like this. And so I can't wait to create more moments like this, because it's a special place, special organization, special team, and I can't wait to stay here for a long, long time.
Well, Rick, clearly JJ excited to be a Houston Texan for a long time, and you just can't help but to listen to this guy, hear what he says, and just know that he's a guy that you want on your team for many years to come.
Absolutely. I mean, when you talk about the type of men that we're looking for in our locker room and the guys that make up this football team, JJ epitomizes that about as well as anybody does. And so, you know, it was an interesting time, because he did have 2 years left on the contract, but it was the first opportunity via the new CBA that he was eligible to have a contract renegotiation. And so they approached us, and you know, we respected him enough to listen, and we were able to get a deal done, and I think it's good for all parties involved.
Well, and that's something that is not unprecedented, and I think Mr. McNair made a point as well to just really talk about it is important to the organization to reward players that do mean a lot to this franchise, maybe even before it's necessary.
Well, and we built our football team on the draft and making sure that we take care of as many of our top players and retain those players in the fold as possible. And that's the way that we built this football team. And I mentioned that in the press conference as well. And, you know, JJ certainly is one of those guys. And so, you know, we think that he is a disruptive player, defensive player in football. And we're looking forward to having him in our uniform for a lot of years to come.
Another move over the past week or so, of course, was the acquisition of Ryan Mallett. Unfortunately, another fan favorite, a guy, Case Keenum, has to be let go. But just kind of take us through that process on both sides of it and what you see in Ryan Mallett.
Yeah, you know, obviously you see a guy who has familiarity with the system first and foremost, who's got physical skill set that's really, you know, necessary to play quarterback in our in our league. And so, you know, he's a guy that was going into the last year of his contract. And so I think with, you know, the addition that New England made through the draft with Garoppolo, they felt like that, you know, that he had some value on, you know, in terms of a trade. And so we were able to get that done on Sunday. And I think he comes in and I think he, you know, brings a different skill set to the position, a different level of experience in this system. And so he's worked extremely hard this week. And so, you know, I think if called upon, you know, I've got some confidence that he'll be able to help us.
Yeah, and we had a chance to catch up with Ryan and Coach O'Brien and get both of their thoughts on Ryan being here.
You know, I believe he's a guy that's worked hard. He understands the pro game better than he did, obviously, when he was a rookie. I think he's worked extremely hard. You can tell on things like being in the weight room. He's worked on his accuracy. And he's definitely improved in his knowledge of our offense. You know, that's obvious. So he's a guy that's just has to keep working, keep improving. And like I said to Dave, he's our number two quarterback. And, you know, it's good to have him here.
Now, what's the first few days have been like, man?
It's been a whirlwind, you know, just getting to know everybody and getting to know the schedule of the area. So it's been fun. So I'm ready to get settled down.
How's your relationship with Coach O'Brien made the process easier?
Knowing him definitely made it easier. Doesn't change anything as far as professional, you know, atmosphere, but it made it easier knowing him before I came here.
What are the challenges like now? As you terminology, playbook, all that stuff as you try to cram it all in?
There's a bunch of different ones. So I just got to go and take in stride and try to get better every day, become a better player, better teammate.
And Rick, we've been hearing Ryan's name for a long time. I mean, back in May. What can you kind of tell us a little bit about the timing of why it was now versus then, and was he a consideration back then?
Well, not necessarily, and I hadn't visited with New England until this weekend, and so I think there are a lot of rumors out there because as people try to read the tea leaves, they obviously know that you know the minute New England drafts a quarterback that he would potentially be available. We didn't have any conversation with New England up until this past weekend to execute the trade that we ended up executing, and we felt like we wanted to look at the group of quarterbacks that we had and give them a chance and an opportunity, to prove that you know we could have confidence moving into the season. We looked at the offseason, we evaluated the OTAs, we evaluated the preseason games, and coming out of all of those evaluations felt like, this guy might give us a better chance to go be successful on Sundays, and that's why we executed the trade.
Okay, and the third guy I want to talk about is one of our favorites, is Danielle Manning. Mm-hmm. And, we had a chance to sit down with him earlier in the week. He is just so happy to be back, and he just credited you so much for kind of leaving that door open for him to come back.
Well, it was important for me. I'm a big Danielle Manning fan, not necessarily just exclusively with respect to football, but also the way that this guy carries himself and the type of individual that he is. And it was an unfortunate circumstance when he had to leave. We didn't want him to leave, and so I had communicated with him when we terminated him before, that if there was ever an opportunity for us to bring him back, that we would welcome him with open arms. Didn't necessarily know it would be this quick, but obviously when he was terminated, we got in touch with those guys pretty quickly to let him know that he had a home here and that we would be excited to welcome him back, and so I'm glad he's here.
All right, well, as I said, I've got so much I want to talk to you about. You'll stick around for one more segment?
I'll stick around for another set.
All right, we're going to take another quick timeout here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. We'll be back with more from Rick Smith in just a bit. Stay with us.
I'm excited. I think we're all excited. Anytime you have an opportunity to just personally to be a head coach in this league and to coach in your first game, it's very exciting. It's very exciting, but at the same time, what's most exciting is to be able to go out there and watch these guys play and to coach these guys on game day and to be in front of the Houston crowd. We've all heard, all of us that have that are coaching for our first time in Houston, we've heard about this great crowd and we can't wait to see it and hear it. And we're looking forward. We're glad that our first game's at home. But it's a very exciting time.
And welcome back. You heard your head coach, Bill O'Brien, talking about really his excitement level for this upcoming season and this upcoming game. Just your thoughts on how we've talked about it earlier in training camp, and I know you were very pleased with how he's handled this team, but now where he is with these guys in this team at this point.
Well, I think we're a better football team. I think we're a better organization. Bill has a way of managing, like we've talked about before, a group of people, and he's a tremendous leader. And a wonderful teacher, and I think our team is not only are we a tougher team or a more physical team, I think we're a smarter team. I think we're more prepared to handle situations, and so I'm excited about it. There's an air of excitement in the building, as well it should be with a new regime. These guys have worked extremely hard. I mean, through the entire off-season program, through training camp, it's been a tough physical training camp, and I think we are better for it, and that's why there's so much excitement around.
Well, and he just credits you so much for working so well with him and putting the right guys, the right personnel out on the field. And, when you talk about the players working hard and him working hard, do you ever in your 8-9 years, however long it's been, and maybe it's just something that we see that we don't hear, but has this been kind of the busiest and the hardest maybe that you've kind of worked here getting ready for this season?
That's an interesting question. That's a great question. And I would submit to you that the answer to that is yes, it has been. It was a difficult time, obviously, coming off of last year. But then to have a new group of coaches come in with all new systems and schemes. And so there was a lot of work that had to be done to communicate between the coaching staffs and the scouting staffs as to the type of players that would fit this system. And I enjoy working with Bill. Bill's a pure football guy. And he's a tireless worker. And so we have been able to, pretty quickly get on the same page about how we see things. That was one of the things in the interview process that was so apparent pretty fast that this guy and I, we see things eye to eye. But you know, to go and implement that with a bunch of folks in the building on either side is not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of communication. And so he's been a wonderful partner to work with that way. And I think if we can continue to attempt to see things in the same way, or see things, we talk about seeing through the same set of eyes, to make sure that we are evaluating, you know, everything that we do as an organization, to make sure that we're doing everything that's geared toward winning. We want to win, and every decision that we make, and every player that we bring in, and every scheme that we employ will be done with the objective to win. And that's what the bottom line is.
Well, and then, of course, when you had to get down to 53, you had whatever it was, 14 cuts left to make. I know that probably has to be kind of a painstaking process to go through. And then on top of that, you get down to those guys. And then with the first pick there, It's almost like you have a whole other draft you can do, and you only end up with a couple of guys off that. Did that kind of surprise you, that you really only ended up with a few, or you're just kind of take us through that process and that final step?
Well, it didn't surprise me necessarily. I mean, I do think we got better. We actually flipped, you know, 10% of our roster. I think we had five different roster moves. We claimed, you know, three players. We made the trade for Mallett, and then we signed Daniel Manning. And so those are five additional players. We got a nice corner, Morris from San Francisco, who we liked a lot. And my understanding is that several teams actually put in claims for him. Jeff Adams was a young offensive tackle, and you can never have, you know, too many offensive tackles. You know, and then the young slot receiver is a guy that adds a dimension. We are always talking about adding men who can make plays with the ball in their hands or make plays on the ball. And this young man is a dynamic, you know, returner, receiver. And so we felt like we got better. We were very pleased with that whole process. And we continue to have that you know, first claim priority for a few weeks into the season.
And then you look at the practice squad, and this organization has had success with guys off the practice squad. But you've got some very interesting players there as well that could mean something to this team in the future.
Yeah, well, and those are a lot of them are, and all of them are young guys that we've worked with over the course of the offseason and have shown some promise. And really, that is the place where we go first if we have injuries or we have issues on our 53-man roster. And so it's not a redshirt season for those young men. It's an opportunity for them to continue to grow and develop so that they are ready if and when their names are called.
All right. Well, thank you. Great information, as always. Look forward to being with you all season long.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. We're going to take another time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll check in with John Harris and a little football 101. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. A lot of good information from our GM, Rick Smith, but we are just chock full of information here. In fact, that's what this show is all about, going behind the scenes, giving you a little X's and O's, and who better than that to bring in our very own analyst, John Harris, for a little football 101 and the route tree.
Let's get a little offense going here. Let's talk about a wide receiver route tree. Now, you'll see nine different routes up here on the actual tree. Are those the only nine routes that a receiver will run? No. But the verbiage in the NFL dictates we've got to have a way to tell a wide receiver what to do quickly. Learn these nine routes, then you can learn everything that comes off of that. What's a chair, what's a bench, what's a drive, what's a return, what's an arrow. There are a lot of different routes that we won't get into that are in the route tree. But this is the foundation for every single wide receiver. And they're numbered. And we'll just go right around. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, and then the ever famous DeAndre Hopkins' favorite route, the nine route. Any route that breaks to the outside, sideline numbers, anything going to the outside is going to end up being odd. Odd, outside. Odd, outside. If you're going inside, it's going to be an even route, even number. Three and five are going to look pretty similar. So sometimes you won't see a lot of teams that will run the five. If they want to run an outbreaking route with some depth to it, they'll run more of the three because they're running away from the defensive back, or they'll want to get to a number seven because that's a better pass route against maybe a cover two. Cover three is a comeback. You hear that a lot. You hear your announcers talk about that. This guy is going to make it in the NFL if he can throw the deep comeback. Well, that's the route we're talking about. The five is directly an out pattern. You might run that some based on coverage, but three and five are pretty similar. A lot more guys are running threes than fives. But seven is a really popular route. Call it the corner route. Some people used to call it the flag route. If you're old school or a little bit older than me, you call that a flag route. That's a corner. not every route is going to look straight line and go. When you're running different routes, you're going to try and sell it in different ways. The point is, you're going to try and get to that particular area of the field. So if I'm running a seven route, it might actually look something like this. Come here, start there, and boom. Well, that doesn't look like that. The spirit of it is we're going to run a corner route. We're trying to get to the same spot on the field as we do right here. On the inside, quick slant. That's a two. Four, curl route. Six is a dig. Pretty popular route. That's a route that Andre Johnson will run all day long. That's a good one. Eight is a post route. And that one can take on a lot of different forms. And I'll get to that in a second. And nine, the go route. One of the favorite routes of the Oakland Raiders way back in the day, 999, all go. Some teams actually called it 999 all go, which was somewhat redundant because 999 says everybody take off deep. Those are routes we like. We like seeing guys go deep down the field. Now, that nine can be a stutter and go nine. It might be I'm gonna run right at Jay, and then all of a sudden I'm gonna break down, get that cornerback to break on me, and then boom, I'm gonna go behind him. So these can all take on different forms. And one of them is the eight route. You'll hear this term, what's called a bang eight. Well, that's taking a post route and a nine route and kind of marrying the two together. It's not quite a nine, it's not quite an eight. It kind of splits the difference right here. It's what we call a skinny post. Skinny post and a bang eight are the same thing. So we can take an eight and say, I'm going to run a skinny eight, or I'm going to run a bang eight. That was the terminology used by Sid Gilman a long time ago, back in the 60s, when the passing game was essentially invented in professional football. He called it a bang eight. The bang eight can take on a lot of different forms. It can be quicker. It can be a little bit deeper. Just depends on some of the coverages that you see. But this was also a route that North Turner and Dallas Cowboys made famous to Michael Irvin, the bang eight or the skinny post.
All right, great stuff from John Harris. Thank you very much, John. That's all the time we have for this week's show. But again, be sure to tune in on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. for Texans Countdown Live. Flip back over after the game for Texans Wrap Live. And then tune in again on Monday afternoon at 2:30 for Head Coach Bill O'Brien's press conference. Have a great week.